It's up on the screen. It's from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, which is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Many of us disobey that command of Jesus. We worry. We're anxious. Maybe it's about the inflation and the economy, or your job, or your health, or a relationship. Maybe it's a future war you're dreading, the state of our country, the election in the fall, your marriage, your children, your retirement, maybe your death. That last one reminds me of a story of a man who had always been afraid to fly, but he finally got on an airplane, and it wasn't too long on board that the plane hit some pretty serious turbulence, and he was very nervous and anxious, so he called the stewardess over, and he says, "How often do jets like this crash?" And she said, "As a rule, sir, only once." Now, he didn't find her attempted humor like you did. I've never liked the phrase, "Hey, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go." Well, what if it's the pilot's time to go and not my time to go? Well, if I'm on his plane, I guess it's my time too. There's a myth about worrying. We think that if I worry enough, I can control the situation. But can you control things by worrying? No. It only makes you miserable. So this morning we're going to dig into this text of Jesus. And we're going to ask, why is this text so hard for many of us? I think it's one of the hardest texts in the Bible to obey. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Another one is to bless those who despitefully use you. Man, I think that's a really hard verse. Do you feel like blessing someone they despitefully use you? Do you want to say, "You know what? Thank you for despitefully using me. I want to bless you with this $20 bill." I don't think you do. I think you want to clobber them. So, things that Jesus says, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, are very difficult, very hard to do. Not worrying is hard. Sir Walter Raleigh once said, "You might as well tell the water in the kettle not to boil as to tell my mind not to worry." But you see, the water in the kettle has no choice. You do. Jesus never commands us what's impossible. The word worry comes into our language as an old English word, which means to choke or strangle. Now, the original language of the New Testament, which I read from, was Greek. And that, in the Greek, the word worry means to be divided into parts. So worry means to choke or strangle the life out of you. Worry means you'll have a divided mind. Picture worry as an internal tug of war in opposite directions with your mind and your spirit. Jesus doesn't want you to worry. And he gives us five reasons here why we shouldn't worry. I think Jesus makes a really airtight case. So if you're going to continue to worry in this life, then you better take it up with him. Here's the first reason. Worry isn't smart. We see that in verse 25. It doesn't make sense. There are more important things to worry about than the physical. But we worry about the wrong stuff most of the time. If you're going to worry, at least make it the important stuff. Like the state of your soul, like your eternal destiny. People get worked up over the physical almost exclusively. They worry about their mortgage, houses, cars, savings accounts. These things aren't going to be around in 100 years. I saw an interesting statistic that older white women have the highest rate of worry that they will become a victim of violent crime, when statistically they actually have the lowest victim crime rate group. Young black males are 70 times more likely to be a victim of violent crime than an older white lady. So worrying about being mugged your entire life is unreasonable if that's you. Worry is irrational. It's stupid. To worry about something you can't change is useless. To worry about something you can change is dumb. Just change it. It isn't smart. We have to change our thinking. We have to challenge our thinking. When those worrisome thoughts start to come into our minds, we say, stop. No. Second reason, worry isn't natural. It isn't natural. We see that in verses 26, 28, and 29. Jesus gives us a lesson from nature. He talks about birds. Now, I'm not a bird watcher. Kathy's parents were. They had the binoculars and the books, you know, the whole nine yards. So I admit up front, I don't know much about birds. But I do think they have a pretty good life. If anything's on God's welfare, it's got to be birds. I mean, what do they do all day? They fly around, which I think is really cool. I would love to fly around. They tweet, which is sweet, and they hunt for worms. And that's about it. That's all they do. But Jesus says they have something to teach us. If we listen to their sermon, we will find out that God takes care of them. If he takes care of them, won't he take care of you? Then Jesus talks about flowers. Have you ever looked at a flower up close? I mean, like really close. You're shocked by the intricate details of a flower. It makes me realize, God, your creation is so awesome. All these amazing colors. And yet that flower is only going to be around another couple weeks, maybe a couple months at most. Yet God takes care of them. Aren't you more important than my favorite flower, the tulip? Do birds or flowers worry? Have you ever heard a conversation in your life between two birds that were worried about a lack of worms? Hey, did you hear that there's a shortage of worms? No, I didn't hear that. Maybe I should be worried about it. I'll bet you've never in your life heard two flowers worrying. You know why? Because they don't worry. Everything in creation trusts God except us. We are the only created beings in the universe that worry. Here's what Psalm 145, 15 and 16 says. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. So is that true or not? Worry's unnatural. Nothing in creation worries. So why should you? But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a born worrier. No, you're not. It's a learned response. You learned it from your mom, or you learned it from your dad, or you learned it from your spouse. God made you to trust him. And so since worry is a learned response, it can be unlearned. You don't have to go through life being a worry wart. And I know some of you are pretty good at it. Some of you, I'll bet, have your PhD in worry. So to unlearn it, it's going to take you a little bit of time. Like I said before, you're going to have to challenge your thoughts. You're going to have to change this natural process of thinking. In fact, that's what my next sermons are going to be on. How we think wrongly about things and how it hurts us in life. Our bodies weren't made to worry. It takes a toil. Headaches and ulcers result. Someone said ulcers aren't caused by what you eat, but by what's eating you. Have you ever said, man, I'm worried sick? Well, keep worrying and you will be. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs you down. It's a heavy load. Worry is unnatural because you have a heavenly Father who knows what you need. He cares about you. He's able to provide for you everything you need. He takes care of the birds and the flowers, and you are more valuable than any sparrow or any tulip. They were not created in the image of God. You were. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for flowers, but he died on the cross for you. You are priceless and precious to him. Here's a third reason. Worry isn't helpful. Worry isn't helpful. Verse 27. It can't make you taller. You know what? I always wanted to be over 6 foot tall and dunk a basketball. Just kind of like a little dream wish that is never going to happen. Worry won't make you taller. It won't make you skinnier. It won't make you younger. If anything, it shortens your life because it doesn't work. If you stay up all night worrying about a problem, is it magically gone in the morning? No, it just makes you more tired. Why not give the problem to God because he's up anyway? When you worry about the past, does it help? Does your past suddenly become perfect? When you worry about the future, does it help? By worrying, can you guarantee that you're going to have a great, perfect future? Nope. Worry can't change your past or control your future. It just messes up your present. Usually, the present moment you're in is okay. I mean, this exact moment is usually okay. If you're worried about something, this exact moment, it's fear. The exact moment is usually okay. Unless you're being chased by a lion at that moment, then I would say that's a pretty healthy fear to have. We tend to worry about the past, which with regrets, which we should have forgotten about years ago, or we worry about the future, which hasn't happened yet and probably won't happen. In fact, I just read about a recent study that was done that found, and they actually tracked these people. They were with them. 85% of people's future worries never happened. So they spent all that time worrying about something that wasn't even going to happen anyway. All they did was miss out on their present. If you aren't living in the present, you're missing out on your life. Fourth reason, Jesus says, worry isn't necessary. Verse 30, it's not necessary because God promised to take care of you. You know, when I had a need when I was younger, I just went to my mom and dad. And I said, hey, could I have some money? And I was usually quizzed on it, you know, what I needed it for. Sometimes they said no, but oftentimes they said yes. I don't ever remember in my childhood worrying if dad had a quarter or if dad might not have a dollar. Now, I never thought, what if dad has no money? What will we do? Will we be out on the street? Will we freeze to death or starve to death? I don't ever remember worrying about that. I never worried that we would be out on the street. But maybe some of you, that was your childhood. That was your experience, your reality. You really did not know where your next meal was going to come from. Now, I grew up in a mobile home in a tough part of Canton, Ohio. So we didn't have a lot, but we always had enough. But if you didn't, as a child, if you didn't know where the next dollar was going to come, then you worried as a child. So that does make it harder as an adult. So I feel you. I sympathize with you this morning. But for most of us, we knew that mom or dad had a dollar. They had what we needed. So can God take care of you? Is he big enough? Does he have all you need? My dad did. My mom did. Your Abba, Father, has all you need too. And he promised to take care of you. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." God has everything you need, all your needs, not some. So your worry is unnecessary. Your Heavenly Father is in control. Worry then is unbelief. It's not trusting God. It's actually a sin. It's misunderstanding the nature of God. You're saying God's unreliable. God's untrustworthy. He's unable to meet your needs. The issue isn't that you worry. The issue is what you believe about God. Do you really believe that God is able and will provide what you need or not? All right, the fifth reason Jesus gives. Worry isn't Christian. Verses 31 and 32. When you worry, you're acting like an atheist. That's what the word Gentiles in that passage means. It means unbeliever. I would say unbelievers have a right to worry. They ought to be worried. If I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I would be worried sick. Living in this evil world with no hope of heaven and hell stretched out before me, I would be worried. Unbelievers have every right to be worried. They should be worried. But the Christian, you shouldn't be worried. It's unbelief. God, I really don't believe your word. You said this in your word, but I have my doubts. I don't believe you'll save my son or heal me or provide the job I need or protect me. That's what you're saying when you worry. Worry is practical atheism. It's not believing God in practical matters of life. Some of us think God is only concerned about the spiritual things, not the secular things. So my job, my finances, my health, I'm on my own. I've got to figure a way out of this. You know what you're doing? You're assuming more responsibility than God intends for you. You're playing God. And I don't care how many self-help books you read that tell you that you're the master of your fate and you need to take more control of your life. You aren't the master of your fate. And you aren't in control of your life. Now, there are areas of your life where you do have choices and responsibility, but these books are wrong to tell you that. You can't be anything you want to be. It's just not true. I'll never be president. I'll never play in the NBA. I think we've already established that. I'll never be a billionaire, even if I wanted to be. You can't be anything you want to be, but you can be what God wants you to be. So God says to you today, stop worrying and acting like I don't exist and trying to do my job. You're projecting a bad image of me onto unbelievers who are looking at you. They're seeing you worry and they're wondering what you have that I don't have. He's more worried than me. Why should I become a Christian? It's a bad witness. And there are some people who worry when things are going well. They say, well, I don't know when, but the other shoe's about to drop. This certainly won't last. Things are going great in my life. I know it's going to end soon. That's so negative. Do you serve a big God or a pygmy God? It's a poor testimony. I know God's not worried. He's not up in heaven right now popping Valium because he's so worried about the future. And the Bible says, be imitators of God. So what are you worried about? In your sermon notes, there's a little blank space. And I hope it's not too big. I didn't make like 10 lines there for you. But is there one thing, by writing it down, you're looking at it with your own eyes and say, this is the thing that I've got to give to the Lord. I've got to change my thinking on it. If there is a thing, then write it down on that blank space right there. Now we're going to get practical and say Jesus gives us some commands that will help us not to worry. The first one is put God first. Verse 33. When you catch yourself worrying, it should be like seeing this flashing red light in front of you. And that's why I say, I'm really glad that I'm not a pro hockey goalie. Whenever they make a mistake, this red light comes on and it's flashing around. And they've made their mistake in front of 18,000 people who are all alerted to the fact in case they missed it. Look, the goalie messed up. I'm glad I'm not a hockey goalie. Worry should be like that to you, a flashing red light. It should be announcing to you, okay, something's out of whack right now in my life. I'm diminishing God. That flashing red light is a clue that God is at number one in my life right now. My worry is what I'm worrying about. Now I've elevated it to the number one spot in my life. Maybe it's a relationship you're in. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's the fear of what other people think about you. You're making that thing bigger than God. It's now on the throne of your life instead of God. And you need to take it off because God is the king of your life. The first commandment says, have no other gods before me. So when I'm worrying, I'm putting something before God. I put an idol there on the throne of my heart that needs to be torn down. And that idol is the God of self. When I worry, I'm obsessively focused on myself. So the cure is to get my eyes off myself and onto God and other people. You know, this verse 33, it's always pulled out of context. It's in the context of not worrying. We worry about what we might lose. I might lose my health. I might lose my job. I might lose my boyfriend. You can't lose God. Because of who He is, He must be number one in your life. He'll add all that other stuff. But if you put all that other stuff first, then you're going to wind up losing that. Make God your number one priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Here's the second command Jesus gives us to help us not to worry. Live one day at a time. Verse 34. Live one day at a time. Now, it seems like I remember that being a pretty catchy country and western song. Maybe not. But it's the truth. Focus on the present. There are 2 days to never worry about. Yesterday and tomorrow. Because today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Confused? Worry directed toward the future causes you to miss that on today. So resist that urge when it comes to live in the future. Live for today to the fullest, because that's all you can really do as a human being. You're not God, who can live in the past, present, and future all at the same time. God doesn't give us grace for tomorrow, only today. He only asks us to live in 24-hour increments because He knows that's all we can handle. So He doesn't say, Jesus, a few verses before this, pray and ask God for your yearly bread. Pray and ask God for your monthly bread. He says, pray and ask God for your daily bread. Jesus is saying to us, lean into me today. That's all I want you to be concerned about. Just today, just this moment. Connect with me. Be close to me. Keep your eyes on me. Third thing, pray. And we're going to see that verse in just a moment. Prayer shows that we're dependent on God. Not praying shows that we're trusting in ourselves. Praying people trust God. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, don't worry, pray instead. If it's not worth praying about, then it shouldn't be worth worrying about. And if it is worth worrying about, then it's worth praying about. Turn those thoughts in the middle of the night that seem to gravitate toward worry, just turn them into prayers. You could even say, Lord, I'm starting to worry right now. My thoughts are going toward this thing that always causes me to worry. So you know what I'm doing, Lord? I'm just right now, I'm turning it into a prayer to you. So I'm confessing my worries and turning them into prayers. Let me close with a quick story about King Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah. And he was surrounded by three massive armies that were ready to destroy him and his kingdom. And I'll tell you, he was worried about it. But he prayed. He prayed to God, and God gave a word to a prophet who came to him and said what's in 2 Chronicles 20:15. He said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. And do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And you know what? You serve the same God as Jehoshaphat. So today, are you surrounded by the enemies of fear and worry? I'll tell you this. Thus says the Lord to you, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He's got it. Put it in His hands. He will prevail. And you'll walk in that victory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, which is so helpful and relevant to our lives. I want to pray specifically for the worriers in this room today, that they would be able to take this to heart, that it would be not a scolding word, not a condemning word, but a helpful, compassionate word for them, that Jesus cares about you. He sees how hard this is. And He is able to do something about it. He's saying to you, just trust me a little bit more. Put it in my hands and see what I do. Help those, Lord, who are struggling with worry. Thank you that you've done the great battle, the great work for us. And we will walk in your victory. In Jesus' name, amen.